Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Australis Capital Investor Call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. If at any time during this call you need assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on Thursday, January 7th, 2021. I would now like to turn the conference over to Brent Reuter. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Australis Capital Investor Call, our first of 2021, and we expect to be several more throughout the year. As an overview, we will begin the call with an update and discussion on the two recent press releases that we issued earlier this week related to Green Therapeutics and ALPS. Once we've completed the overview, we'll have open lines for Q&A period and take calls from investors. We will allow 15 minutes for calls, and to ensure we get as many calls as possible, we'll limit callers to one question each. So with that said, and without further ado, let me pass the call on to Duke Fu, our interim CEO. Duke.
Thanks, Brent. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Australis ALPS Green Therapeutics Transaction Conference Call. With me today are John Paul, the CFO of Australis, Thomas Larson, president of ALPS, Terry Booth, who is also principal of ALPS, and Adam Suarez, our corporate secretary. As we announced on Tuesday, Terry will become ASA's new CEO upon completing the closing of the acquisition of the 51% interest in ALPS. At that time, I'll take on the role of CEO focused on organic growth and strategic execution. The company conducted a thorough search using a reputable third-party recruiter with deep connections in the industry. The nominating committee, which comprised of independent members of the board's directors, interviewed a roster of high-caliber candidates. It was clear that Terry was the most accomplished, experienced, and passionate candidate and was the best fit for ASA. Prior to the cannabis industry, Terry was a successful serial entrepreneur. He co-founded Superior Safety Codes, which was recognized as one of Canada's top 50 fastest-growing companies. And I'm sure you've heard of Aurora Cannabis, and it's well-known to most of you. As founder, Terry and his team developed Aurora into one of the preeminent global cannabis companies and the second unicorn in the sector. Terry's industry knowledge, understanding of the global and U.S. cannabis markets, his pedigree in building companies all combined to make him the ideal candidate to lead ASA. I feel personally privileged that Terry has agreed to take this position and look forward to working with him to transform ASA into the company it was always meant to be. Today's call is structured in four parts. We wanted to introduce our new CFO, John Paul, to the markets. Following this, I'll make some remarks on Green Therapeutics, followed by Thomas, who will provide a high-level overview of ALPS. Terry will then tie it together, go into the transaction rationale, and go the go-forward strategy. We will then open the floor to questions. To say we've been busy at Australis would be an understatement. We've transitioned a new board. We're nearly finished with our strategic review of assets and successfully negotiated not one but two transformational transactions. Our new board has been extremely active and engaged. Their diverse experience and focus on shareholder value have been commendable. We have also made key appointments to our leadership team, and I want to use this opportunity to properly introduce John Paul, our new CFO. John has had 2 years' experience as CFO of a cannabis company he took public, also bringing him with a vast array of connections in the industry. He's had a very successful background in driving growth and profitability in a number of hyper-growth companies. He has a very broad skill set, which is exactly what we need in this position. We expect John's contribution to the company will be significant, and we're pleased he agreed to join us as we embark on what we believe will be exciting and profitable journey. John, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Duke. Well, it's great to be here and to be part of Australis. I've been involved in other fast-paced industries in their very early stages, and cannabis, too, is very early in its life cycle. When considering my next step, it's clear I wanted to stay in the U.S. cannabis industry, which I consider to be the most fascinating, vibrant, dynamic, challenging sector in our economy. I'm a big believer in the benefits that cannabis is providing for so many people. It's just a great time to be involved. The growth potential, as Duke pointed out, is phenomenal, and I look forward to playing an important part in that growth with the rest of the management team. While I had several good opportunities to choose from, it was a tough decision. I liked what I heard from Terry Duke and the board, and it's the combination of the huge opportunity, strategic vision, and the entrepreneurial nature of the team that made up my mind. In my opinion, this company has what it takes to succeed. Terry Duke and I will complement each other's skill sets very well, and I'm also really excited about the special expertise that Thomas brings. Terry is a consummate company builder and brings deep industry and capital market networks connection. Duke has a wealth of operational experience, quality control, and brand building in highly regulated industries. I'll focus on bringing the financial resources and connections the company needs, help us explore organic and acquisition growth opportunities, while helping us to together maximize our cash flow and increase the shareholder value. Together with our entrepreneurial expertise, we feel very confident we can build a successful company in this high-growth industry. The transactions we'll be covering today are very exciting. From my point of view, I'm pleased what they bring to ASA in terms of revenue, cash-generating power to fuel our growth, and strategic synergy to help us stand out from the competition. I'm excited about the future of ASA and look forward to connecting with shareholders throughout the year, not just when we report financial. Yeah, with that concludes my comments, and I hand it back to Duke.
Thanks, John. As we promised our approximate 250,000 shareholders, we are all about executing in the U.S. cannabis space. We believe that these two transactions set us up to do just that. Moreover, it will create a unique opportunity in a company with a number of exceptionally hard-to-imitate competitive advantages. Let's look at the GT transaction first. GT is a budding MSO. It's operational in Nevada and has assets in Missouri and Oklahoma that's developing this coming year. We believe that Nevada is one of the most cannabis-friendly jurisdictions. The state operates a limited license regime and allows public company ownership. Moreover, while Nevada has a population of only 3.1 million people, the state normally attracts over 45 million visitors annually. After the initial COVID lockdown, GT has seen stronger sales than the previous year. And with the rollout of vaccines, we believe that Nevada will get back to whatever the new normal is soon. Nevada also boasts some of the highest wholesale cannabis prices in the U.S. that will result in a strong and positive impact on GT's margins. The foundation of GT are the brands it produces out of its 8,000-square-foot cultivation manufacturing facility in Nevada. The GT team has a deep background in manufacturing pharmaceuticals. Consequently, GT excels at creating best-in-class products and brands. This is reflected by GT winning multiple awards, including High Times Cups, Patient Choice, and Jack Rare Cups. As a relative newcomer to the space, it surprised some people. However, GT's pharma experience, science, technology, and love for the plant has gone into the development of its luxury designer products. Consumers clearly agree as everything GT produces sells very fast. Another metric that shows the popularity of GT's products are its excellent distribution, with some 52% of Nevada dispensaries carrying its products. To date, GT's growth has been limited by capacity, not by demand. GT is working on expanding capacity through development opportunities and partnerships. We believe the Alps deal will help to further accelerate expansion and GT's entry into new states. We see a number of other growth catalysts as well. For instance, we believe that in the next 2 years, the number of dispensaries in Nevada will roughly double. We are confident in GT's ability to maintain a high penetration rate. Furthermore, GT has been awarded a provisional dispensary license at South Lake Tahoe, where it currently is working on receiving county approval. The exciting part about this license is that GT has one of only two licenses granted by the state, and South Lake Tahoe is a world-class tourist destination with ski resorts and multiple casinos. There are no distance separation requirements to casinos, unlike Las Vegas, and if permitted, GT can locate its dispensary immediately adjacent to casinos, bringing a large and captive audience. In Missouri, it owns 25% of the manufacturing license. Missouri is a medical cannabis state only, with a capped number of licenses. In total, the DHSS has a set number of 86 manufacturing facilities. With a population of over 6 million people, Missouri is the 18th most populous state in the U.S. Missouri medical cannabis market is anticipated to grow to approximately $400 million by 2022. Adult use is expected to be put on the ballot at that time, which would really accelerate growth. GT is in talks with a number of high-end, highly respected out-of-state brands who are looking to leverage GT's infrastructure for white label production. In turn, GT expects to be able to piggyback its production into dispensaries, significantly reducing time, effort, resources, and costs associated with building up distribution. With GT's license, it is well-positioned to capitalize on the immediate growth and future significant upside if adult use is permitted. GT's facility is close to operational, and the additional CapEx required to get it to revenue is minimal. The third state that GT is in is Oklahoma, where it owns 100% of the manufacturing license. GT anticipates it being operational towards the end of 2021. Like Missouri, Oklahoma is medical only for now, but it's anticipated to have adult use on the ballot by 2022. As in Missouri, GT is well positioned for this. The market is rapidly growing, with 2020 sales anticipated to come in around $700 million. Oklahoma may only have a population shy of 4 million people, but it is the largest U.S. medical cannabis market on a per capita basis, with nearly 10% of the people having a medical cannabis card. While Oklahoma's license regime is uncapped, the state has been very supportive and business friendly, and we anticipate being able to leverage the popularity of GT brands and its capital-light model to expand in the state. Investors can expect that GT will continue to innovate with processes and equipment that will rapidly deliver competitive advantage in areas of production and products. Before handing it over to Thomas, I wanted to take a moment to reflect on both GT and ALF's transactions from a capital markets point of view. Unlike what I've seen in many transactions, the selling principal is not looking for exit. Both ALF and Green Therapeutics are about strategic alignment that creates competitive advantages that will strongly differentiate us and significantly accelerate growth for all parties involved. This is about creating value and aligning interests of all stakeholders. I'm here for the long haul, and I know so are all the other principals. On that note, I will hand the call over to Thomas.
Thank you, Duke, and welcome, everybody. The company that also is acquiring consists of two parts. The original ALPS, which is the part of the business focused on the cannabis industry, and Larsen GC, Larsen Greenhouse Consulting, focused on fruits, vegetables, and other crops. It was ALPS that was owned by Aurora. I left the management buyout in May, upon which we were able to combine the two businesses again and move forward, rapidly building up a client base. For those of you who are not yet familiar with ALPS, we are a consultancy specialized in the design, construction management, commissioning, and post-commissioning services for horticultural facilities for crops such as cannabis, fruits, vegetables, mushrooms, and algae. We work truly globally in any climate and any demographic you can imagine. We have been in business for more than 30 years. The company is actually a continuation of the work my uncle started engineering greenhouses more than 50 years ago. In my time with the company, we have been involved in projects with a combined footprint of well over 100 million square feet. So we know what we're doing. The ALPS business model includes both project-based fees and recurring service revenues. The latter is a rapidly developing arm of the company with the recent launch of our APIS compliance and service offering, on which more will be said later. Unlike most of our competitors, ALPS covers the entire cultivation value chain, from concept through to harvest and processing. Our leadership starts with how we approach projects. We fully assess the client's circumstances, which include objectives, economic realities, climate, market dynamics, etc. This enables us to deliver the optimal solution and develop high-yielding facilities, producing high-quality products at a very low cost. Being able to deliver these solutions is in part due to our vendor-agnostic approach. Our clients know that we will always deliver the optimal solution. We are not driven by third-party economic incentives to select them as project suppliers. Interestingly, this approach makes us a very popular opponent and partner with technology vendors and other suppliers to work with. If they work with us on a project, the client knows that they were selected on merit and our products generate exceptionally high customer satisfaction. Furthermore, through our close technology relationships, we have been able to develop numerous proprietary innovations. Due to our unique combination of IP, skills, capabilities, and connections, we were able to rapidly build an impressive roster of global clients producing cannabis, fruits and vegetables, as well as other crops such as mushrooms and algae. Since the management buyout of Aurora, we have been able to grow our business rapidly. Revenues are growing, we are EBITDA positive, and we are developing an impressive pipeline of new business. We made a five-year plan for our development at the buyout, and without giving away anything, we are able to attract more projects than anticipated. To give you an indication of the scale we operate at, we have signed or are in negotiations with potential new customers and projects with a total projected CapEx of over $2.5 billion. This is not the revenue due to ours, but it does show the magnitude of the projects that we are involved in. Going forward, we see a number of catalysts that we believe will accelerate growth. The consistent strong growth trajectory of the U.S. cannabis industry is resulting in companies needing to expand capacity. This will be done either by upgrading existing facilities or by building new ones. In both cases, helps add significant value. We are witnessing continued demand for high-tech facilities for more traditional crops, such as fruits and vegetables. Self-sufficiency and food safety is a theme we come across more and more. Operators in regions where climates does not support large-scale outdoor cultivation have come to us to discuss projects, some of which are of mammoth scale. Even in areas with traditional outdoor production, we see momentum towards growing in a controlled environment, a greenhouse. And why? Well, it's cleaner, it's better, and for example, we also use less water. Just some of the reasons. We also see demand from new crops. Increasingly, the world is looking for alternatives to certain resources, and crops such as algae and hemp are expected to play a big role in this. With our track record in innovation, we are well positioned for this next wave of facility design. Longer term, we believe that cannabis in the U.S. will be legalized at the federal level. Once this happens, licensed companies will be able to move product across state borders. This, we believe, will start a new wave of facility building, whereby MSOs will either replace fragmented infrastructure or new MSOs will start from scratch with the building of very large centralized facilities in order to realize economies of scale. ALP's new compliance and data-driven service offering, APIS, is designed to create a high-margin recurring revenue stream. APIS provides for compliance and risk reduction. We call it industrial greenhouse management. Our hands-on experience in helping clients operate and optimize the facilities played an important role in the design and development of APIS. This has given us unmatched insight into the factors impacting the operations and economic returns of facilities. APIS delivers value not only in regulated markets, but also through applications such as preventative maintenance programs. APIS delivers increased margins, reduced overhead, and a boost to consumer safety and confidence via the production of safe quality goods, whether this is a tomato or cannabis flower. APIS has met a lot of interest to date, and we anticipate it will grow rapidly over the coming years and become a very material and high-margin contributor to ALP's results. There's a lot more to ALP's than what I just have covered, and for those who want to know more, I invite you to visit our websites, alpsonj.com for cannabis projects, larsengc.com for non-cannabis projects, and apis-quality.com for compliance. Going forward, you can expect a very active ALPS engaged in numerous projects around the globe, the launch of new innovative service and new partnerships. You can also expect to hear more about how ALPS is playing a role in supporting the national scale-up of the also brands, on which Terry will provide more information. That wraps it up for me, and I will hand the call over to Terry.
Thank you, Thomas. That was great. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being on our call. I hope you're all staying safe in this COVID environment, and we all look forward to a time when it's not a part of our daily lives. It's been a while that I've been able to address the market, but I'm happy to be back in the saddle, and I'm chomping at the bit to get going in the U.S. cannabis market. We announced two transactions that both bring revenue to the company, and both are accretive in terms of EBITDA. In other words, we are transforming the company with the game-changing acquisitions and are building shareholder value. As Duke said, the growth prospects in the U.S. market are phenomenal. With a growing number of successful companies, it is important that smaller and newer companies act smartly and with agility while differentiating themselves from the pack. This is exactly what AUSA is going to do. And that is what the two transactions we announced are about. Being smart to us means that we look to optimize every dollar we spend, enter the capital markets efficiently, leverage our core assets of award-winning brands and products, and do it in such a way that we stand out from the pack in ways that are hard to replicate. While we own certain production assets, such as the GT ones, we are not planning to invest in large-scale infrastructure. That's one of the key reasons behind the combination of AUSA and ALPS, as it provides us with the ability to enter into win-win partnerships with cultivators. Our strategy is to execute on capital-light expansion by securing low-cost access to high-quality biomass to fuel the scaling up of our brands in multiple jurisdictions. So how will this work? ALPS has developed considerable know-how and intellectual property and has deep relationships with technology suppliers in horticulture. Consequently, companies that partner with ALPS know that they are optimizing their return on their investment. Our IP and know-how, therefore, are very valuable to our customers. In return for us providing this IP, we will negotiate supply agreements. What we intend is for our partners to grow a percentage of our proprietary strains and sell the flower back to us at cost or at a small percentage above cost. We already know that our cannabis grown in an ALPS design facility will deliver high quality, high yield, low cost cannabis and cannabis derivatives. We believe we'll be able to secure our cannabis supply at favorable rates compared to the rest of the industry, providing us with a competitive advantage. Our ALPS grown flower will be a connoisseur bud and for processing into world class expanding portfolio of derivative products. This is where the GT transaction comes in, as well as our iconic Mr. Natural brand. As Duke explained, GT's brands are award-winning. Our Mr. Natural products are also very popular with the community and the culture and the medical patients and other high-volume customers. These brands to date were capacity-constrained. The ALPS transaction, we believe, will enable us to effect the capital-light scale-up of these brands, swift entry into multiple jurisdictions, and transform AUSA ultimately into a Tier 1 national MSO. Once these transactions close, we will have a footprint in 6 states, Nevada, Washington, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Michigan. We have also an investment in Body and Mind, or PAM, which is in multiple states also. As we announced previously, we are in discussions with BAM to make our partnership more meaningful than it just being a financial investment. We'll be exploring potential synergies to capitalize on. We've had numerous conversations with Mike, and we look forward to renewing our relationship. In the meanwhile, we are assessing other opportunities. Our criteria remain the same. Unless we are talking about a potentially very disruptive proposition with a short time to market, we will only engage in transactions that are accretive, delivering immediate value to shareholders. No broken wagon wheels. We will focus on markets that meet our criteria, such as those related to licensing regulations, ease of business, market size, cost of entry, and the competitive environment. In short, we will move into those markets where we can make the most money. We will be laser focused on the Eastern United States. Historically, the East Coast cannabis markets were supplied by gray market operators from the West, including British Columbia in Canada, California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. This creates a new dynamic upon legalization, whereby the entire supply infrastructure has to be built from the ground up. With large populations, this means that the opportunity is huge. We are looking to participate in these markets and are assessing the opportunities. Sorry, said I take a drink of water. While we have a strong focus on the East Coast, we are not turning a blind eye to opportunities in other states. We are already active in Nevada, which is, we believe, the best regulatory environment to date, with limited licensing, business-friendly regulations, and over 45 million visitors per year pre-COVID, as Duke pointed out. Other non-Eastern states have passed our litmus test as well, and we continue to assess opportunities and have entered discussions with potential partners. We will also assess more retail opportunities as retailers control access to the customer. Duke mentioned the provisional retail license in Nevada, and we are looking at low-cost options to expand our network. To do all of this right, we have to be smart and diligent. With these two transactions, we have lots to offer, and have become a compelling transaction partner. We will look to capitalize on this as we assess our move into new markets. Innovation will be another area of attention. Both ALPS and GT have proven innovation track records. Our focus will be on fast-to-market commercial innovation. So expect us to look into new products, form factors, and delivery mechanisms, as well as innovations that improve operational efficiencies. In short, we will look at innovations that will strengthen our competitive advantage and make our company harder to emulate. Also know this, we have our finger on the pulse of the hemp food market and the CBD derived from hemp market. The entry point in each of these markets is, in my opinion, just around the corner. Discussion with market leaders will be a priority. Before we open the floor for questions, I want to make a few comments on governance. Governance is of critical importance to any company, and AOSA is no exception. To ensure governance is of the highest standards, several committees were formed, including the Audit, Compensation, and Nomination Committees, as well as a special committee to deal with the litigation that was started by Green Therapeutics, which has now been resolved. Duke, who also serves as CEO of Green Therapeutics, recused himself from any discussion internal to the AUSA concerning this transaction. He has only been involved in strategic discussions around long-term objectives regarding the AUSA-GT relationship. I myself was not involved in these discussions and also negotiated the ALPS deal from an ALPS perspective. We had spirited discussions that are part and parcel of negotiations and that I believe make the company stronger. In the end, the decision to enter into these transactions were made by the AUSA board, supported by legal counsel. We take governance very seriously, and I'm pleased to say that the AUSA board brings a strong sense of purpose and a strong voice to any discussion. Summarizing today's call, we announced two deals that bring revenues, positive EBITDA, strong brands, a number of significant growth catalysts, and strategic synergies to AUSA. These transactions are the first step towards ALPS becoming the company it was meant to be, a meaningful MSO in the U.S. cannabis space. What our shareholders can expect from us is a company that acts smartly, executes quickly, but diligently, and capital acts efficiently, and capitalizes on this phenomenal U.S. cannabis opportunity. Shareholders can expect us to be clearly differentiated and hard to imitate. Our passion with respect to cannabis cannot be challenged. Our respect to the pioneers, advocates, and activists is honest and true. The baton being passed is one that will not be dropped. We support the expungement of records of those convicted of nonviolent cannabis offenses under laws that were not just or reasonable. We stand proud to support medical endeavors as the world continues to realize the medical benefits of cannabis. We will support the science of major cannabinoids, minor cannabinoids, terpenes, and the entourage effect. Shareholders can also expect us to communicate clearly and frequently on our accomplishments. We are very well positioned with two foundational, transformative, and game-changing acquisitions underway, and there's more to come. I look forward to continuing the dialogue with our shareholders and other stakeholders and working with Duke, John, the team, and our board as we build AUSA to become a Tier 1 MSO and a globally respected company, leading in cultivation science, most importantly, in sales. Our shareholders can expect a journey of pursuing unparalleled success with extraordinary executives and a sound business plan. Our AUS shareholders will soon be holding their heads up high. Our mission will be to ignite, excite, and delight our shareholders and partners. That concludes our prepared remarks. I would now like to hand the call back to the operator and start the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request. If you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. And if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. First question comes from Lawrence Matar at Law Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hi. This question is for Terry. With the collapse of Aurora stock price, how can we trust Astralis to not do the same thing?
Thanks, Lawrence. Don't think I haven't heard that call over the last 2 days with respect to the newest interview.
Sorry about that.
Okay. AUSA stock price has already done much the same as 90% of the publicly traded cannabis companies. The sector reset as investors didn't see the expected demand for the cannabis growth. They didn't see the revenues projected by the sector. That said, cannabis market top-line revenues is not going down. It's just not going up as fast as the industry thought. Say what you want about my performance at Aurora, but look at the positives Aurora has. It has a market cap of over $2.3 billion. Yes, it has reduced its number of employees by 1,000, but it still employs over 2,500 globally. It's still in over 20 countries, maybe more. I've not been there for a while. I don't get the exact numbers anymore. I was effectively not effective with Aurora by November of 2019. I retired 3 months later and then resigned from the board shortly after that. The market cap when I resigned was around $4.3 billion. It's now $2.3 billion. Aurora's initial value approximately 7 years ago was $10 million. That's a return of 230 times price today. It's 430 times the return if you sold the stock when I was punted. People tend to forget when to apply simple math as to when we sell and buy. If you look back at Aurora's peak return on early investments, it's well over 1,200 times initial investment, less than 5.5 years. We raised money at those levels and acquired assets. Yes, there were write-downs, but had we not used that market value to raise the money and expand globally, where do you think we would be at Aurora? Or where would Aurora be? It'd be trading with 52,800 square feet in Mountain View County. I would take an educated guess and say that would be less than 100 million market cap. So how bad did Aurora sink? 4.3 billion when I left. 2.3 billion market cap as of today. It has the lowest cost per gram in Canada, the highest sales outside of North America. Back to your question, with the collapse of Aurora's stock price, how can we trust Astralis to not do the same? ACB stock price, in your definition, collapsed to $2.3 billion. As I said, when I exited, it was $4.3 billion. AUSA's market cap is presently approximately $30 million. And Aurora's is $2.3. The market size AUSA operates in is 10 times the market size that Aurora operates in. Is that not a good opportunity? I'll just say it again. Aurora's market cap when I was punted was $4.3 billion, effectively punted, retired in quotation marks. AUSA's market cap prior to this announcement today, yesterday, was approximately $30 million in a market that is 10 times bigger. Thanks for the question, Lawrence. Sorry, I was a little bit passionate in that answer, but I've been asked it a lot lately. And I put this together in anticipation of such a question. I look forward to building AUSA with this excellent team. I'm very happy that we've connected with the leader in greenhouse cannabis manufacturing, also very supportive in the cultivation knowledge. We have a significant number of talented people that are knocking down the door to join this parade into the USA. It's going to be fun. Hold on to your hats. I guess that's it. We'll go to the next question.
Next question comes from Andrew George, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Duke. Hi, Terry. So I would just like to first start off by saying congrats, on the recent announcements. So as a long-term, shareholder of Australis and Aurora, we're glad to see some cannabis experienced people onto the board. So my question is more targeting about the ALPS transaction. So I'm aware that Aurora sold it for a nominal amount a while ago when they were restructuring their operations. So my question is more focused on it is a bit of a sizable transaction. However, my question is, how many projects are in the pipeline, due to COVID? It's, not a lot of business corporations are out there that are, building mini offices and having people come in. So it's a bit hesitant. I'm a little hesitant to, be more supportive of that transaction. But if you guys can give me a little more color on how many projects you have in the pipeline, how much revenue is expected to be made, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Thomas. Remember that the company that I bought back from Aurora, that is just out. So as I said earlier, I've been in this industry for many, many years and always on the same side of the table as a designer, as independent, as agnostic from the vendors. And as soon as we left Aurora, we basically called a few people and told that we were out on the market again in any other industry outside the cannabis world. And it has very, very quickly opened up to a long, long line of clients that really have been hungry for reconnecting. So when we made the agreement with Aurora, we anticipated that we would go out and a majority of our revenue would be coming from the cannabis industry. And because of COVID, that has a little slower build out. But the other consequence of Aurora is that food safety has got a completely different position that had opened up markets and get old connections from my side into play again. And we have a significant pipeline in the vegetable and berry, soft berry industry at the moment, and contracts that are being executed at the moment as well. So we are not vulnerable in the same way towards COVID as you might think, but we also a little bit surprised about how it has turned turned the contracts around which one were landing first on our table. So we are very, very positive and optimistic about the future for us, also in the near term.
And the anticipatory here, anticipated revenues are in the press release. Those are milestone targets, top line revenues and EBITDA revenues will drive what USA ultimately pay. I've been in discussions with over 10 cannabis and future cannabis facility builders just in the last 3 months. Thomas is speaking with a few himself, and a number of projects in the pipelines and the names of those customers in the pipeline will be coming out over the next few months. We're going to really gather some momentum as we let the markets know where we're at and what we're working on. Some of these are highly sensitive projects that we can't really speak to, but rest assured they're of significant size and value, and will bring great value to ASA, as well as de-risk this whole cannabis play in the United States. Having the ability to grow anything, if you will, is a great ability. And Thomas never mentioned some of the algae projects he's involved with. It's quite spectacular what he's been able to do since May, and that's what really piqued the curiosity of AUSA.
And this is Duke, and I also wanted to add, and just indicated in the terms of the transaction, ALPS only realized the maximum earnout if their revenues from July 2021 to June 2024 are in excess of $108.7 million, along with a cumulative EBITDA of $48.9 million. So, and this, obviously a potential upside to that. So, just as a kind of frame of reference for the transaction.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. You may proceed.
Well, thanks very much, operator. Thanks, everyone, for attending the call today. We look forward to conducting more calls over the coming months as we update investors. And please feel free to reach out to anyone in the call today for any further questions. That concludes our call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.